And we become more alive every day. Last Sunday, I was blown away. I could not believe that I talked an hour. I had no intention of doing that. And I am glad about the things that I said, because the Lord gave those to me to understand in my unwilling trip vacation that I went on. And He gave me, by the way, I don't plan to speak an hour today either. Pray for me. But I'm very thankful for the things that the Lord showed me, you know. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." He doesn't allow you to go someplace or send you someplace without going with you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so I knew in my heart of hearts that the Lord was going to speak to me and show me some things, because He has always done that any time that He has caught my complete attention. And this is what happens when you go through a situation like I went through. God has your attention. God has a lot to say, but we're not listening. And that's the thing that we need to understand. So the Lord showed me three things during that time. And I ministered, I think it was 15 or 20 minutes the first time. I must have learned how to do it then. You know, I got so bold after that. And I shared with you that first time around how the Lord spoke to me. You know, people can't hear without a teacher. And teachers have to be sent. And then they have to be obedient to what God calls them to do. And there's... when God puts a call on your life to teach and preach, then it's a very important responsibility to finish that call. And then the second thing he showed me was His plan for suffering. That was last week that I shared that. And that helped me a lot. I hope it helped you. Because the Lord, He spoke that to me, that He has a plan in suffering much greater than our fears or our doubts or our confusion, and He's going to get something wonderful out of it for the praise of His glory. And so I shared that scripture with you. And today I want to call my message, "Be True to Your Calling." This was the next thing that He taught me. Now, I want to share with you what the scripture says, but I also want to share with you the reality of what I'm observing and what the Holy Spirit... Do you think you could do a better job, somebody, on those, on that third shade? There's a lot of glare coming in there. Thank you so much. That I am observing in America and American churches, we are sliding into a complete lack of understanding that we are to stay true to our calling. A lot of people don't even know there is such a thing as calling. You know, that sign used to see at a lot of places, "Go to the church of your choice on Sunday." It's really God's choice. He's the one that calls us places and puts us places. That's where we'll prosper. That's where He's going to make us what He wants us to be. I think it's really an amazing thing, because when I was in the Methodist church, part of, not everybody, but part of the group there were very liberal. And I couldn't understand why people continued to stay there, because I didn't plan to. And it seemed that no matter what they did, the people hung right in there. Well, at least they were true to something. They just thought they were committed to that and they were going to stay to it. And they had this little saying, "Methodist, Methodist till I die. And then I'll just become another part of the Methodist pie." And I just observed that they couldn't do things crazy enough to run people off. Then through the years, I've noticed that it's hard not to offend people with the least little thing. And changing churches and church surfing has become quite the activity in America. That's because we don't understand we're called to do something. That's because we don't really have a purpose. And so if you go to a church, say because of the worship leader, then when the worship leader leads it, then you think you need to find another church because you're going for the worship. You can't go to church for the worship leader. You go to church because God calls you. And he tells you where he wants you to be and what he wants you to be about. So we want to always be able to say, as Paul did when he finished his work, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I have kept the faith. I do want to be able to say that in the end. Do you? You know, the only fight we as believers have is the fight of faith. Did you know that the devil has already been defeated? Your fight's not to beat up on the devil. He's already beat up. Jesus has already fought the battle of the ages and won the victory for us on Calvary. We don't really fight the devil. He has no power but what we give him as he works through the deception and accusation and these type things. Now, the enemy tempts according to the weakness he watches you. Now, the first power that he has, it's a lying power, is temptation. Now, temptation is not sin. But if you obey that temptation, you have sinned. That's why we used to sing the song, "Yield Not to Temptation." Anybody can yield to it. It takes someone that is really hooked in with God not to do it. Now, the enemy watches. He watches how you live your life. He watches what you're doing. He watches how you respond, or else he has imps, because you know he's only one spirit being and he really can't be everywhere. He's not nearly as great as people make him be, but he does have supernatural power because he's a spirit being. He watches how you respond to things, and then he knows what he can tempt you with. He knows what he can trip you up with. You know, for example, he had a Delilah all formed and ready just at the right time because he knew what Samson's weaknesses were. Samson was a tease and a game player. You better be careful about being a practical joker. Because Samson really got lured into it through his own personality. He was not solid in his character, and Delilah knew that. You know, and Moses, the enemy knew that Moses killed a man and hit him in the sand, that he was overtaken by anger. And so then he knew that he could tempt him with anger when it was time to strike the rock. He smote the rock and he became angry, and it kept him out of the promised land. You see, the enemy does know. He's not totally smart, but he does have some ways that he can trip you up, which is really quite amazing. He watched as he deceived Esau and set him up to fail, although the scripture clearly says that Jacob was God's choice to be a leader in Israel. I want to tell you about that in a few moments. The Lord began to show me the kind of things that will cause us to deviate from God's true calling. Would you like to know some of those things? By drawing us according to our weaknesses or according to our desires. You know, there are things that would tempt me that wouldn't tempt you, and vice versa. You couldn't tempt me to wear myself out on a golf course. I'm just not interested. You know, there are certain things that are not going to tempt me. Certain things that people talk about, they say a certain food is to die for, and they don't realize that it is killing them lots of times. These things that they're so stuck on. So, according to your weakness, Satan tempts you. According to your weakness. So be prepared for that. That's why we need to ask the Holy Spirit to try us and open our hearts as David did. David said, "Try me if there be any wicked way in me." Some of us are too proud to ask the Holy Spirit to try us. We think we got it all together. Please don't think that way. You don't have it all together. I when I was praying this morning, I said, oh God, I really need you. You know that I know that I really do need you. And I want the Holy Spirit to try me. I want him to show me what ways in me wicked means. Wicked means twisted, you know, like wicker furniture. It's all that's what wicked means. It means you're twisted at some point. And you need to be untwisted. You need to be purified. And the Holy Spirit's the one that can do that. We need to stay open on a regular basis to the purifying work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And I want to tell you something. Life is too hard. And there's too much pain and trial to get to the end and then find out that you missed God's purpose. I mean, don't you want to know that you're going to hit the mark? Actually, that's what the word sin actually means. It means missing the mark, to miss the mark. And God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And some people's life is adrift because they don't discipline themselves to stay in the path that God has called them to. There was a recent poll taken among Americans asking the question, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? The extreme majority said, what am I here for? Isn't that amazing? Some of us have been coming to church a long time and you still don't get it. A lot of people think they're here to just get a good job, make a lot of money, impress people, become famous. Who knows all the things that people think they're here for? We need to find out from God what we're here for. And to do that, because God has given you the gifts to succeed in your calling. He's not going to ask you to do something you can't do. One day I was just musing on all that Heidi Baker has been through. Oh, just read any of her books. I read her book and always end up just crying. I just can't. The things that she's had to go through and the suffering and all of that. And I said, Lord, I can't. Please don't call me to that, something like that. I don't think I could ever go through that. And he said, I know what you can go through and what you can't. And I'm not going to call a lot of people to do what Heidi Baker's doing. Some people are trying to do what Heidi Baker's doing. And that's the furthest thing from God's mind. He knows that few people can do that. It's a killer to the flesh. I remember hearing her say, don't worry about it so much, honey. He just wants to kill you. In other words, the scripture does say that we're to die to self, doesn't it? And so she has understood the way that he has taken her is a way for her. Don't try to be other people. Sometimes people get so discouraged because they're not somebody else. Or they're not like that. They're not as strong as somebody. They're not as beautiful as somebody. They can't speak as well as somebody. Well, you are who you are. Improve as much as you can and say, this is who God made me to be. But please don't be singing, I gotta be me, when you haven't even tried to fix yourself yet. Right? I dislike that song a lot. I gotta be me. So egotistical. The first prophetic word I ever received contained this revelation. I have called you to teach and preach my word from border to border and to go into many nations. And I will give you special favor with dark-skinned people. I've had people say, I can't even communicate with these Africans. I can't even hear what they're saying. It takes a gift to understand some Africans, now that's for sure. And some people in East Tennessee, sometimes I don't know exactly what they're saying. Remember that time that we were, Jane and some people were with us, and that woman in way deeper south from where we are. And one of us ordered something, and here's what it sounded like, what the waitress said. Wong Wong. So she was asking a question, but nobody had any idea what it was. And we got her to say it again, and we figured out she was saying, "Do you want it warm?" Wong Wong. So thank God, thank God, thank God. He will enable us. He will not let the enemy keep us. Nobody can do what God has called you specifically to do. And they'll never be able to succeed the way that you're able to succeed. And he'll give you the gifts. Maybe, and be careful when people compliment you as if you're somebody great, telling you all these things you can do. And you know in your heart of hearts, only God does that. Keep giving God the glory. That's the way to keep from getting proud and displeasing God. Okay, now. And then it wasn't long after I received that Vicki Jameson prophesied to me. "I've called you to the nations of the earth, and you will go, you will go, you will go." And Judy just cracked up and just said that over and over again, because some of them knew that I must minister in the nations, but I wasn't too excited about it right at that time. So the Lord, you know, he sent Drummond Tom to, I mean Robert Tom, Robert or Drummond, whoever the father is, Robert. And he sent him to say, "There's a lady here today." And he wouldn't say who it was because he didn't want the congregation to think I was getting ready to run off to the nations. They'd make them feel insecure. Then later he said to me, "By the way, you're the lady." And he said, "You're the lady. There's a lady here today that you feel the nations in your heart. And you know it's a work that's got to be done. But you feel like your feet is in cement. And you don't feel like you can really do this thing at all. But you will go." Well, so this word kept coming to me. I thought it was really weird. I thought, why didn't God choose somebody that had it together about that more than I do? He doesn't always choose who we think can do a great job of that. I told Jeff I never dreamed he'd be the great success he's been in missions. That I was so pleased. Jeff Collins, who spoke for us Wednesday night, by the way, just incidentally, just happened to be in the area. Isn't that amazing? And very thankful for the word that he brought to us. You heard the expression, "I believe he missed his calling." You ever heard people say that? Yeah. You know, some people may, but it won't be easy to miss your calling. Because God makes it clear and usually puts a burning desire to do the thing that he's called you to do. I'm talking burning. And you won't be happy while you're doing something else. So I want to tell you a couple of three things about how God has made it entirely possible and doable for you to stay true to your calling. It's not like it's the hardest thing in the world. Heard one guy giving his testimony and he said, "But I stayed with God, but I left black heel marks all up and down the highway." And I thought, is that supposed to be something you're proud of? Why are people so proud that they fought God so hard? You know, we have fought God from time to time, but we can get over it and we can get forgiveness. And we can understand that, by the way, nobody's doing anything great on earth but God. Did you know that? Somebody said, I think it was in our last service, we're not ashamed of the gospel. Some people are embarrassed to give their testimony. Well, I tell you who I'm ashamed of, the world. I'm ashamed of those around me that live such godless lives. I'm ashamed that the children are being reared to think so strange. We didn't even think that way when I was growing up. But the whole culture has conspired to destroy children and take them away from the truth before they can ever get established in it. Romans 11:29 says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." That means God's not going to repent of it. And that means, by the way, there's a lot of scriptures that talks about that God gives you gifts and God gives you callings that he set for you over in the New Testament, he tells you. I think it's Colossians. That he has set in advance, he has prepared for you to do in advance, and he knows what those good works are, by the way. A lot of us do things, we should wake up and realize what we're doing is not good works. We can't be doing what God called us to do. Hello? Well, the Lord just said that to me while I was sitting here. That's why I said that. If you're not doing good works, then it's not, you're not doing the work God called you to do. He's called you a long time ago to do good works. And he's put giftings inside of you. And the things that very, very easy for me to do could be next to impossible for you. And some of you can do things that I think, I don't know how they do that. You know, I could never do that. Sometimes I say, that would wear me out, or that would bore me to death. Or I think of all the different things people do well. That's why we need the body, isn't it? And if each of us does what it is that we're called to do, then the work of God gets done. As a society, we're more given to turning away from things if they become too difficult. That's because we don't understand that God truly has specific gifts and callings for his people. Now, I say this a lot. And if you don't pick this up in this church, you're not listening. Now, it's possible sometimes you're not listening when I'm preaching. I understand that. But don't miss this. As a church, God set us on a path from the beginning. He called us to be a praying church, a worshiping church, that would seek after the presence of God. It's not strange here that we want the presence of God, that we want to worship him in spirit and truth. It's not weird here that we choose the presence of God over entertaining people in worship, because that's what he called us to. And he's called, it's not strange that we pray, because he called us to prayer. These are the things, the path he put us on. But it is difficult, the scripture says, to buy the truth and sell it not. Now, there have been people from time to time that would like to change our direction. It's funny, isn't it? People come to your church because they really like it, and then when they get in it, they want to change it. I've never quite understood that. Or a bit, sometimes they want to change it for their convenience, or they want to change it because of their own opinions or whatever. But the Lord instructed us to buy the truth and sell it not. You know, some people are just so sure that they have the truth, but they've never bought and paid for anything. It just suited them. They agreed somewhere along the line. You know, I was sharing a scripture with someone. I shared a scripture with the same person twice. And, I mean, it was a different scripture, but twice I shared with the person. Did you get that? And both times the person answered, I agree with that. And I thought, you're telling me you agree with, you and I wouldn't say that. If I shared some scripture, you'd say something like, well, that's good to know, or that's something we can live by, or thank God for that. We wouldn't, the scripture doesn't need your agreement. But this person thought it was out for voting, I guess. Yeah, you better believe we agree with the Word of God. It's the only truth we'll ever have that is pure truth. Yep, I agree with that. I recently discovered that Duncan Williams has a message on being bewitched. Of course, the person who shared this with me said it came from Duncan Hines because she's a chef. And then we both laughed and she changed it to Duncan Williams. So I said, and she explained to me, shared with me, what it was that he taught. Because the scripture says in Galatians, who has bewitched you? Yeah. That you would so quickly turn from the truth. They were turning back to legalism. And they had the truth and had been set free. Who wants to be bound in chains again after you've been set free? Right. So he asked the question, Paul did. Who has bewitched you? Did you know that people can bewitch you? You do know that you can be, you could be bewitched. And there's a spirit that works in people that are rebellious, or people that don't walk according to the truth, that when they share that, if you sit and listen to that enough, before you know it, that can come on you. Let me give you another scripture to back that up. If you have a root of bitterness, the scripture says, get rid of it, lest a wicked root spring up and defile many. And so this is why when I got hold of that, I thought, I need to share this with our church. Because sometimes when people ask me, I never did understand why so-and-so left the church. Well, I'm not going to gossip about people. And a lot of times I do know why a person leaves, and other times I don't. But if I did, I wouldn't be gossiping about it. But here's the thing, you don't have to worry about it. Because one thing that sometimes happens to people is they get bewitched. And somebody gets, they get all twisted up and become bitter about something, and a bitter root springs up and defiles many, and they're able to, they don't mean to bewitch people probably, but that's what happened when you get into a wrong spirit, and when you're not walking God's way, then others will be deceived by the things you're saying. Did you ever have great confidence in a person? Say, not somebody in our church necessarily, but you had great confidence, and then you heard some things about that person you'd never heard before, and your confidence was somewhat shaken. You never had that experience? Yeah, well, of course. And sometimes you'll actually lose faith or confidence in a person if you hear enough negative things. So it's very important that we disallow the enemy to ever have the privilege to bewitch us. Yes, it is possible to be bewitched. It's possible to be deceived. The enemy could send a Delilah to try to rob you of the gift of God and the calling of God. And he could be forming somebody even now that wants to take you away. So before you buy into something that some person might say to you, you be sure you get into the Word. Or you talk to somebody in leadership or someone who really knows the truth. Don't just believe anything. Buy the truth and sell it not. We strive to understand why people do things. We strive intellectually. But truly, people will pick up the offense of another. And when they get the idea that that person had to leave, then they think, maybe I should leave. Somebody told me of a young person that said, well, I didn't really want to leave the church, but my friends left, so I thought maybe I should. Well, I ain't leaving because of what one of my friends does, especially if they do something strange, weird, or unusual. I think I'm going to be asking God about that. And Paul said, or a person might get involved in some group or some business dealings that would draw him away. That's why Paul said in Acts 26:19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. God's put a heavenly vision in your heart and in our hearts. Other people have all kinds of visions. They might have visions for you. Have you ever had anybody share with you a vision they've got for you? Oh, I have. I've had people try to, how shall I say, turn me into the person who would believe their vision for me so that they can get me enrolled what their plan is, because I could be helpful in that plan that they have for themselves. They don't know that, people don't know they're doing this. It's just what they want. People a lot of times try to foist what they want on you. I mean, for example, eat that, it's good. Dr. Pickett used to say, you don't want to eat that, you're just cheating yourself. Whatever that means, in other words, if you don't like what I like, I've got to change you into a different kind of person here. So I've developed a saying, leave me alone. Let Let me get off that subject. Rome. Already hungry. It's okay. I promise you I will not go an hour. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, people like to say all things work together for good. No, they don't. Some things work together for really bad. Right? But all things work together for good, those that are called according to his purpose and that love God. And if you get outside of God's will, you're living in a different place. Dr. Piggott used to say, home is the will of God. If wherever I can be, if I'm in the will of God, I am home, whether I like it or not. I am committed to the will of God because the anointing is the greatest power on earth. And the call or the purpose of God is the greatest thing that's happening on earth. And the other things that are happening on earth are incidental to that. If we start to thinking that, then we won't just tell our kids to go to any kind of college just so it's this, this, and this. What about God? What about the college God wants you to go to? I knew which Bible school to go to. I went to a Bible school for 3 years. I think it was 2.5 or 3 years. And I really learned a lot. It wasn't a full gospel school, but it was the only one in this area. And I really wanted to learn the Bible. And so it was easy to find out which one to go to. It was the only one there was. Some things are just really easy. So they were Presbyterians and Baptists, you know, by trade. But they were really committed to the Word of God. So my mother was Pentecostal. So I went to the Bible school that was Baptist, Presbyterian, and whatever other fit in that. And so I felt like really that the Lord wanted me to have exposure. Not just, I know what Pentecostal churches believe, and I know what my mother believed, and I knew what that people in that Bible school believed. They thought they did believe in women preachers, but you know, they started inviting me to preach in their churches. They made me president of the Student Missions Fellowship. It was really quite a wonderful thing. You can go into situations and God will give you grace and anointing to win people that are not supposed to be with you. In fact, and one of my professors came to a service here one night. And so there was just such a liberty. And so the people decided that they'd just get up and march around the church. You know, they always do it when some little kind of stiff person is sitting there. But you know what he said to me later? He said, you know, I have just seen my third world's great wonder. He mentioned what the other two was, and he said, and the third one is a people in a church being as free as these people have been tonight. He was actually very positive about that. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. What are we predestined to? Yes, we are predestinated to be formed to Jesus' image. A lot of people have this idea, it's called double predestination, that some are called to heaven and some are called to hell. Well, what about whosoever will may come? So it's not exactly accurate, you know? Thank God the doors are wide open because of the blood and the Holy Ghost. Notice that all things work together for good for the called according to his purpose. God's will and purpose is the most important thing on earth. The anointing of God is the most powerful thing on earth. A pastor once called me and asked me if I could tell him how to get back into the anointing he once had. He was an area pastor. He said, tell me anything, and I promise you I'll do anything you tell me to do. I thought, how unusual. He said, if you tell me to go back to my wife I divorced, I'll do that. I'm telling you, I'll do anything that you say. Well, I didn't have any big answers for him. I was just really shocked. But he made the statement, I'm still preaching, but it's no longer anointed. He was just kind of doing the best he could. He did it till he died. The Lord spoke to me that at some point I should write about the call of God upon his people, that those who minister in God's name must do it with his anointing. I'm supposed to write something about this at some point. I discovered it in the hallway in a hospital over in Bristol. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. Hello, that's in your Bible. Why do we preach to people and they can't hear? They turn, they go the other way. Because we have to have more anointing to destroy those yokes of bondage. Opens people's ears and hearts so they can receive what we're saying. An intellectual message will only give information and does not change people. Now, I want to tell you this little story that will help you. I had an experience once that completely changed my understanding about how God works. You know, we think we know all about how God works, but there's a lot about God we don't fully understand. I knew a pastor who raised up a really good church, fairly good-sized church, and there was a man in his church, one of his leaders, left his church and went and started another church and began to draw people out of my friend's into his. And furthermore, he began to have dealings with other people that were not right, that would help him build the church in ways that I've been taught are wrong to go about such things. And it was really heartbreaking to me. And in fact, I had to really pray about it to keep from getting resentful about what he was doing. But to beat it all, what amazed me was God prospered this man. The one that left the church and went and started another church and started doing these things. And I said, I don't get it, Lord. And it would help me a lot if you would give me some understanding of why you're letting this guy prosper. I mean, God blesses people that do us wrong all the time. I mean, I know this. I've accepted that. So I just pray for them to be blessed, because they're going to be blessed anyway. If you want to stay on God's side, just bless everybody. And so I saw the man really being blessed. And so at a point, but by the way, God doesn't have to explain anything to you. But if in humility you ask him to, sometimes he will. He'll open up something and show it to you. So he showed me his mind about the gifts and callings and that they are without repentance. Well, I knew that this younger man was really anointed, could really do a lot of things, preach and do these various things. He was gifted for it. He was blessed by God to do it. Okay, so it's going to be without repentance. So what's God going to do about that? God showed me what I had not understood previously. And he showed it to me from the life of Jacob. That here's what Jacob did. He did the same thing this young man had done. He took things the wrong way. And he sometimes deceived people in order to get it. And he didn't repent of it. In disregard for God's way, he did things his own way. Why didn't God just write Jacob off? Because Jacob was God's choice to lead Israel. even though it didn't look like it at that time. The scripture says the words of God are, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. That's way on over in the Old Testament. Why would he love Jacob? Well, that's between God and Jacob, right? But how can he use a man who would connive and deceive to get the blessing? Because that's what Jacob did. That's what this other guy did. He got the blessing too. So I ended up confused. It's easy for God. Now listen carefully here, because I want to open it to you. Hard for us, impossible. Easy for God, because he's God. He would simply order this young man's path. In this case, for Jacob, he would simply order Jacob's path to have experiences of life and learning that would change Jacob into the man he needed to be in order to be God's leader. I don't know if most of you probably know the story, and so obviously I can't tell you the story, because if I did, I'd break my promise to you. and we're going to get out of here in just about 5 minutes. I don't feel under any pressure. I just made this promise to myself. There's no need in a person not even knowing what time it is. So God did this by allowing Jacob to personally experience the same conniving upon his own life that he had foisted upon others. And it broke him. And so when the time came for Jacob to take his wife and his camels and all and go over to another place, he was afraid his brother was waiting over there. He was afraid Esau was waiting, and he said, he'll kill me, because he knew that's what he deserved. See, that's what we deserve for the way we live and the things we do. But hey, God is God. He knows how to change you into the person he called you to be. And that's without repentance. And he's not going to change your call. He's going to change you. This was a wonderful thing when God showed me this. I said, oh, then you're going to change me some more. Hallelujah. Because he's told me some things I'm going to do, but I've got to be changed some more before I can do those things. So he sent all these camels and everything on ahead of himself. And his brother sent word back to him. I don't need these things, my brother. I have enough. So God had also done a work in Esau's heart. And he didn't want to kill him anymore. And so God worked the whole thing out so that both of them lived, both of them succeeded, and Jacob became the leader that God intended for him to be. Now, this young man that had this problem with the pastor that I'm telling you about and took his sheep and did some of these things, here's something the Lord said to me. This young man, I truly have gifted to lead a large, very successful work. And I'm going to get that gift out of him. I've put a real investment in him. I've had people rescue him from all kinds of things. And I have gifted him that he's going to do a great work, even much broader and larger than his pastor did. But God got his investment out of this young man. And he showed me how he could work in doing that. Because you recall that Uncle Laban really tricked Jacob, promising him much greater wages than he gave him after his years of labor. Labored so that Laban would give him his daughter, Rachel, to wed. After working all that time, he ended up with squinty-eyed Rachel, Leah. Not Rachel, but her unattracted sister, Leah. So this young pastor was broken and changed by going through this experience. God healed his character and made him into the Jacob he needed him to be. To oversee the extensive ministry that he had called him to. I also observed that this young man then gave his original pastor, or that God saw to it, that the original pastor was given the respect and reward that God wanted him to have. He gave so that the original pastor did not suffer lack, but he also grew because of it. Isn't that the most amazing thing? It is amazing what God can do. It's amazing what God will do. You just stick with God's purpose. God, don't choose the easier way. You know, I found that some people these days, they're formulating church according. It's almost like people have written in letters and said, this is the church we want. And so they're setting up a church like the people have ordered up. Well, people don't order up how churches are to be. God tells you how they're to be. And he gives us grace to be true to our calling. And I believe that he's going to give even greater revelation, don't you? And he's going to walk us in the way. Well, you guys have stayed with it really well. I want to ask you to stand together. It's nice to see Dr. Janet back. Yeah.